Greetings, this is Nigeria, and you're with UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Minna on the line with me. She's a new recording artist, singer, and songwriter, and we like that. Minna, introduce yourself, tell the people who you are, and let's talk about this third album you're dropping.
Okay, my name is Minna LaFortune. I'm Jamaican born. I'm a reggae recording artist and songwriter. I started recording my music since March of 2022. I was fortunate to meet my producer, Lee Holness, and he encouraged me to write my own songs, not to do covers.
Okay.
So I've been writing my own material since March of 2022 and recording them. I'm also a poet, and I did songwriting for while I wrote more poetry than songs, but now I think I've surpassed the number of poems I've written, and I'm writing more songs than ever before. It's an exciting journey, mm-hmm. because I did not know I had so many songs within me.
Right.
I'm being inspired in this way, and I've embraced it,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just going with the flow and allowing the inspiration to direct me. So I have produced 3 albums. My first album was Dance With Me, Volume 1. My second album was Caribbean Christmas. And my third album, which will be released in June of this year, is Dance With Me, Volume 2. And that album is quite an eclectic album. It has, beautiful songs. Each song has its own message. There are also love songs on the album, mm-hmm. as well as we call roots culture reggae songs.
Oh, I love
it. So, I'm promoting this album because I think everybody can take away something from the album. Drink Your Sorrows is the first track on the album, which encourages people not to use alcohol to respond to their situation, their challenging circumstances.
Yeah, especially now.
To remember their strength and to their value.
Yes.
And that, that they have a lot to contribute, and that they should, take the example of the athlete to just keep trying and trying again to achieve their goals and live their dreams. So that's the first track. And the second track is Reggae Music Is Love to Me,
uh-huh.
which speaks to the impact of reggae music in my life. Reggae music is a very powerful music. It has a healing frequency to it. And,
yes.
It picks me up every day. It doesn't matter where I am. I want to hear some reggae music because it connects me to my roots. And it empowers you.
Right.
It's very empowering. I also wrote a song in to honor Marcus Garvey called The Black Star Liner. As you know, Marcus Garvey did create the Black Star Liner, is ship that he used to trade with between Africa and the United States and the Caribbean, called The Black Star Liner.
Mm-hmm.
And so, this song takes you on an imaginary trip from Jamaica to Africa.
Wow.
On the Black Star Liner, and describes the love of Africa and the togetherness that we envision should we take such an imaginary trip on the Black Star Liner with Africa.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes. And then I wrote another song called Shine the Light on the Ills of Society. Marginalized, how it's impacting the marginalized, and how we can teach our youth to be stronger, not to emulate what is being done to us, but to be strong and to articulate and fight against the evils of society.
I love everything you're saying, and truly you're representing the reggae mantra. When we think of reggae music, we always think of, at least here on the American side, the music that uplifts, the music has heavy messages of love and political references. And obviously your album fulfills all of that. And is that just a standard when it comes to reggae music, that this is what we represent, uplifting heavy messages of love and addressing the political ills?
Yes, Jamaican music on a whole reflected the mindset and the commentary of the people.
I love it.
It started with Mento, which would tell stories of happening in the community, and then it evolved into ska, then it went to rocksteady, then it evolved into reggae. But the same mindset, the same mission, and you know, was carried over in these changes, these evolutions.
Mm-hmm.
So the mission would never change.
Right.
It was always to reflect the opinion and the feelings of the people and the aspirations of the people.
Right.
So reggae has captured that and has maintained that feature, as a genre. In addition to those songs I mentioned, my latest release was Ceasefire. And Ceasefire is dealing with the gun violence among black boys and young adults throughout the globe. You know, it's okay to say we should have ceasefire in one part of the globe, but what about our community? You know, black bodies are dropping like flies across the globe. And it's the enemy is not each other. The enemy is poverty.
That's right.
Poverty is a real foe. And, you know, we need to really enlighten ourselves in this way and teach our youth, the reality of their lives. Because they're coming up. They don't understand. They don't understand to meet a boy in the street and he's upset. You know, he's not happy. You know, there's disrespect. But it's not about the disrespect. It's about where he's coming from.
Right.
It's what he has experienced that morning.
Right.
He probably didn't get any dinner the night before. He probably saw his father beating on his mother.
Right.
He probably saw his mother not being able to buy certain things, pay the rent. And these things affect our boys more than we even imagine.
Absolutely.
These kids are witnessing so much pain.
Yeah.
And there's no outlet for them. And it boils over among them, and the violence erupts because one is trying to save face in front of the other.
Right.
Or they get involved in other ways of earning to offset their deficiencies. And when the real issue is poverty.
That's it. That's it.
So I was moved for Ceasefire, Inga, but I've always been troubled by the amount of black boys that are dying across the globe in urban centers.
Yeah.
And so I said, we need a ceasefire in too. We need a ceasefire in our communities.
Absolutely.
We need to have that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, great love song too, Baby, Baby, I Love You, which is it's a duet, you know, and it harkens back to the to dancehall. There's also another song called The Message, which pays respect and honor to the reggae band that took the reggae message across the globe.
Uh-huh.
And we don't judge if they don't budge. We just play reggae music, right? You know, we don't care if they look like we.
Right.
You know, we are following our destiny.
Right.
Because I think Jamaicans are called in this way.
Yeah.
I think Jamaican reggae artists are called to do this. And they took it, and like Bob Marley and Bernie Spear, for example,
uh-huh.
and Dennis Brown, who are my influences, you know, they took it, they really carried out a mission.
Yes.
They carried out this
Absolutely.
Mission, and they were well received, you know, in their mission.
Yeah.
So, and it had real impact.
Yeah.
This song is to honor, you know, the work that they did, you know, Third World Band and others who followed them. Yeah, this was to give respect to them.
I love it.
And I was watching Burning Spear on Facebook performing, and the song came to me just watching him, because, you know, I've watched him for so many years, and I'm saying, this is the mission that has gone unsung.
Right.
So to speak.
Right.
So I need to pay respect to that. And then I did a song, an Afrobeat song, which I wanted to make sure I did for the same reason, to honor this African heritage and the fact that African music is now so popular,
right,
that they have found an avenue to impact the world. And so it's called Dance to the Afrobeat.
Yes,
it's here.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, no sense holding back.
Right,
know?
That's
let's
right.
Let's dance to the Afrobeat. Let's make a legacy.
Right.
You know, it's a very personal song. It's very sensual.
Right.
But yeah, if we did that, then I did the Weekend Vibes, because I thought that I needed something light and, you know, fun. And I said, you know, I'm going to write a song that is light and fun. And so I was invited to do Weekend Vibes. And it really is nice. It's beautiful. And it's my producer. I was going for a Latin flavor, soca type thing, but he kind of arranged it in the amapiano genre.
Mm-hmm.
That is coming out of South Africa. It's an Afrobeat that is popular in South Africa.
Uh-huh.
And it's really beautiful. So
I love it.
Yeah. So that's it in a nutshell, basically.
Definitely gave us the rundown on the album. And yes. I love it because of all the dynamics that's in this. It's so creative. And I think that's what you're kind of alluding to, that's what's missing. Yes. And our music. Music is where we promote our messages again of uplifting, heavy messages of love, and addressing our political concerns.
Right.
And I love that out of all the genres, reggae music definitely addresses all of that. And I guess that's why the underline of the music is called Roots, because you guys really address the root of the matter of what's going on. Now, you talked about being a poet and singing and songwriting. How did you begin your journey as a songwriter? Because I can hear your passion that these things that affect you, you just kind of put pen to paper. But when did you realize that you was really an authentic songwriter?
To be honest with you, I've been trying to answer that question myself. But
after three albums, you're trying to answer that same question?
Yeah.
I love it.
That is so true, because when I first came to America, I was 30 years old, right?
Uh-huh.
At age 13, I remember writing a lot. Writing poetry and essays and, you know, pouring my opinion out. And then I got very religious and was in church, going, you know, sampling churches. And I remember being told by some minister, we should not go back to slavery. And most of my writings was like, and responding to slavery.
Uh-huh.
And I burnt my book. I burnt it.
Wow.
And yes, I never forget that. And because I found my voice was very, it wasn't militant, but it was very, and
it was honest.
And honest, right, that's it. So when I came to America at age 30, I started to get verses in my head. And I'm like, what's this?
Right.
So I would write them down, but I didn't take them seriously, because it didn't sound British. It didn't sound like, you know, American poets. It just had a whole quality of its own that I could not associate anyone else's work with it.
Right.
So I just like ignored it. And then I saw a documentary on James Baldwin and how he sacrificed himself.
Uh-huh.
He sacrifices himself, and leaves his homeland and went to France so that he could write.
Uh-huh.
And that moved me. I said, he made such a big sacrifice. Why am I suffocating my own verses, my thoughts? Why am I ignoring them? So I decided I was going to write.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know what I was going to write, but whatever was coming, I was going to put it down.
Right.
So I started to record, you know, write these verses, but I didn't ever put any of them to music. And then I'm in love with jazz. One of my greatest, jazz and opera, I love both of them.
Okay.
One of my greatest wish is to sing, just to entertain an audience singing just jazz.
Okay.
So jazz songs, yeah, I feel more comfortable doing jazz than reggae, actually.
Oh, okay.
And opera than reggae, yes. I was trained to sing classical music. I did voice training in high school, right? So my training has prepared me for classical operatic style music. And I love jazz. So I started writing, but I wouldn't share what I was writing with anyone.
Right.
One day, I went home, and I put my tape recorder on, and I just started singing. I didn't write anything down. I put a tape in a tape recorder, because I said, I need to know if I can write songs.
Right.
So I just started allowing myself to sing lyrics, just one after the other. And I did a 90-minute tape, and I proved to myself that there was something there.
Right.
I still have that 90-minute tape.
Good for you.
Yeah?
Good for you. That's right.
And yeah, and I mean, every one of those songs, I mean, every time I listen to them, I remember exactly what, you know.
That's right.
The lyrics of each of them. So like, then I went back to writing poetry, and I would write little verses and little songs, but they would disappear. I don't remember anything else that was not recorded. They just flew away. They came,
uh-huh.
I didn't pay much attention, and then they just disappear. So when I met my producer in 2022, and he said to me, do not regret, because I had sent an original song to him.
Uh-huh.
Because I was asked to do a cover and write an original song and submit it to this promoter, who eventually introduced me to my producer. And I just wrote it on the fly.
Wow.
And he sent it. Yes. And I surprised myself. I surprised myself. And I put melody to it and sang it and sent it to him.
Wow.
And I surprised myself. I said, let me see how he responds to this, because there was no thought that went, you know, that forethought. It was just on the fly.
Right.
And he sent it back to me, accompanied with music, and I was blown away. And then when we met, he said, what do you want to do? Do you want to do an album? I'm like, really? Like Aretha Franklin, who has an album? Barbara Streisand, who has an album? He said, yeah. So those are my idols. Those are my idols.
Right.
And he said, yeah. So he said, so what kind of music do you want to do? And I said, American standard. He said, why do you want to regurgitate other people's music?
Come on.
And he said, why don't you do your own? I said, really? You would want me to write my own music? He said, yes, my own songs. He said, yes. And I tell you, I said, wow, what an opportunity. I am not going to turn away from this.
Right.
And I said to him, if I do anything that doesn't make sense, please let me know.
Come
okay? Because
yeah.
I'm walking into the unknown now. I don't even know what I'm going to do.
Right.
Okay? I'm trusting in what I think is there.
Right.
I'm not sure it's
right.
there.
Right, right.
And my first song came out of a conversation I was having with him and his brother, and it's called Mecca Money.
Oh, yeah. I saw the video, and I was listening to that.
The funny thing is, the words just came right after we hung up from each other, and the words just came. I wrote the words down, and I sang it, and I sent it to him. And he sent it back to me and said, let's learn this. And because his girlfriend is my guide.
Uh-huh.
And he said, learn this and let's record it.
Okay.
True story.
Love it.
Then I did Summer Love.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I did Dream Big.
Yes.
Because I realized that I wasn't dreaming big enough.
Come on.
Even though I wanted to be a singer.
Come on,
I wasn't
Mina.
Dreaming big enough.
Come on. I love it.
I wasn't dreaming big enough. And I said, oh my God, look at what is happening to me.
Yes.
This was not on my to-do list. I wanted to publish my to-do list was to publish my poetry.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And still is.
Right.
But this was I was learning myself. I was seeing a part of myself that I never knew was this big. I never knew was this potent. I mean, I know I'm an opinionated person.
Right.
And I can argue with anybody on many different subjects.
Right.
But I didn't know I could put it in song.
My God.
I didn't know there were so many subject matter to write about. In poetry, yes, but not in song.
Right.
And I didn't know I had the ability the way it's coming out.
Wow.
So, and I didn't know I could sing reggae.
Okay.
So I said a prayer. I said,
yes,
I'm going to pray and ask God to just guide me through this.
Right.
He just guide me through this experience, you know, open the door. My husband is one of the most excited persons when he hears my music.
I love it.
And he has a slew of ideas. And he doesn't think I'm pushing hard enough to get my message out. But, you know, he looked at me and said, honey, I think you should go for it.
Uh-huh.
We've been married for 30 years. This is the first time my husband ever spoke to me like that.
Wow.
I think you should go for it. You never know what can happen.
That's right.
I think you should just go for it.
My God.
And so this is my second year, and this is my third album.
And look at that.
The funny thing is, my Christmas album came about in 4 weeks.
Okay.
Because I'd written a Christmas song, Christmas in Kingston, the year before, the 2022, December. And my producer said, we're going to need another Christmas song from you for 2023. And I said, really? He said, yeah, you should. I said,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote four songs, and there were four nice songs.
Right.
So I said to him, I've written four songs from which you could choose one, but why choose one? These four songs plus the one I did last year is five.
Right.
Why not do an album? He said, why not?
Come on now. Yeah.
And so that was another experience. The songs just came.
Mm.
Every one of those songs wrote themselves.
I love it.
Yep. And I'm like, when we did this between October and November, I think by November 30th, the album was completed.
Wow. I mean, yes? you are a living testimony for anyone listening right now that, one, it's never too late, and definitely don't let anyone shut your voice down. Shame on that pastor. But don't let nobody shut your voice down to the point where
100%.
You start doubting the gift that God gave you.
Yes.
And, you know, you have to
correct.
Yeah, you have to explore. Otherwise, you don't know. And what I love is that you're not even chasing fame. You're just releasing your gift. And as the Bible says, your gift is truly making room for you. And so you are that living epistle to what the word is saying. And I mean, kudos to your producer who continues to push you and encourage you. What I really love about your story is that everything you have done has been original. So to those who are listening, don't be afraid to release your original song. You don't always have to do a cover. You can release your own song. And Mina, my goodness, this is, woo, your testimony is awesome.
You know, I pay homage to my mother because she was the first person who sang to me.
Uh-huh.
And she lived a life, as a child, you know, in school, she sang. As a child in school, she was a folklorist.
Okay.
And she died when I was 12 years old.
Mm.
But in my heart, I wanted to be a singer.
Okay.
And that was my career choice, to be a singer.
Right.
That's all I wanted to do. But, you know, the reality of her death and my growing up proved that I couldn't, you know, pursue that as a career because I needed to take care of myself financially.
Right.
So that my education became my priority, and you know my financial status that you know also became a priority where I would need to earn enough to take care of myself, regardless of whether I was single or married.
Right,
that was my goal.
Right, right.
So I made that my priority, and so you know I was just commenting on a magazine article that was a vintage magazine from Jamaica and showed it to someone with actually the High Commissioner of Jamaica, ex-High Commissioner of Jamaica, Asamba, Alum Asamba. And I said to her, you know, I just sent her a post that I didn't know that the director of that particular choir that was being written about was Panamanian and not Jamaican. And she said, I didn't know you sing. I said, yes, I do.
Uh-huh.
I would love to sing in the Jamaica Jazz and Blues Festival. That was like a pipe dream.
Right.
You know, just putting things out, you know.
Right.
And she said, I know the promoter.
Wow.
She said, and this was during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, speak to him because I don't know if he plans to resurrect the program, you know.
Right.
And so one thing led to another. He contacted me, and she said he wanted my music bio. I wrote one on the fly.
Boy, you're quick on your feet, Mina.
I never had one prior to that. And then he called me, and he said, send me a cover of a song and an original song. And then I did that
right.
On the fly. I did a cover for Summertime, Kathleen Battle, Summertime, because I just love Kathleen Battle.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. So he was the one who introduced me to my producer.
I love it.
He was the one who introduced me to my producer, and he said, why do covers?
Right.
Why not do your own songs?
Yeah.
And that was one of the best advice I've ever gotten in my life.
Yes, yeah. And what I love too is sometimes people get over prepared. So I'm loving your transparency of, honey, I wasn't even prepared. I just did that on the fly. I did it on the whim. But it definitely represent that you already had it. It was already in you, you know.
Yes.
And sometimes we let people stifle us that we kind of just keep it. But then we understand what's in us when we're called. And so you were called to sing at the event, and then you were able to just, boom, present on the fly because it was already in you. Man, Mina, I am so excited about this interview and you sharing your story because people need to hear it. Everybody's story is different, but to hear how you just was stifled, then your mother passed early, singing was something you wanted to do, you got kind of off track, but then you got back on track just in conversation of sharing that you like to sing, and then doors, boom, 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 just start opening because it's your time and it's your season.
Yes.
And so this third album, Dance With Me Volume 2, is going to be dropping in June, but her music is available. Mina, tell them your social media and your website so they can connect with you.
Okay, my website is minalafortune.com. Mm-hmm. And my I'm on Facebook as Mina LaFortune. I am on TikTok as Mina LaFortune. And on Instagram, I'm Mina's Music, Art and Craft and Poetry.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah, but it's kind of long because the intention was to add all these other aspects of my life. I've not completely done that. But it's Mina's Music, Art and Craft and Poetry. Yes, right. On Instagram. I'm on X. I'm on Thread, Mina LaFortune. I'm on Blue as Mina LaFortune. And Substack as Mina LaFortune. Yeah. Snapchat, Mina LaFortune.
Okay, you're on all social media.
You find all my social media angles. Yeah.
And is it on your website as well?
Yes.
They can connect with you.
Yeah. My Facebook, my Instagram, and TikTok. Links are there. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, as we like to say, once a key player, always a key player. Thank you so much for affording us to be one of your media outlets. And as we say, whenever you're releasing something, feel free to call us back and it will be an honor to share your new projects.
It's my pleasure. I truly appreciate the opportunity, Nigeria, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for accepting my request for an interview and for being supportive and for understanding my journey.
Yes.
And you nailed it. Yeah. And so, you know, I really appreciate your insight and your compliments, and I definitely will keep you in the loop going forward.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.